Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we are in the house of the Lord again, and we are entering into the Word of God. And we know, Lord, that your Word always, the entrance thereof, brings light. And let that light shine in our hearts this morning. Give us an understanding, and bless the people, and let your name be glorified. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. I want to see that the people are agile and alive this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, his voice is in his word. Understanding God's voice. So, that's what I want to talk about. And, you know, we started to talk about this a little bit last Wednesday at the Bible study. I prayed about it some, and Lord moved on me, and I'm going to do it here for the benefit of everybody. And we've touched on this subject before, but God will bring a new perspective. And I want you to listen real close and see what the Lord is going to speak to us. Now, before I start going too deep into this message, I want to read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. So there are many kinds of voices, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, we don't want that concerning the voice of the Lord, do we? Do you want to be a barbarian concerning the voice of the Lord? This scripture says, and I'm going to try to teach this morning, right, and preach. So take it easy, make sure everybody understands this. This scripture says, look, if somebody is speaking and you don't know the meaning of the voice, well, he might as well be speaking whatever, gibberish. You know, be a barbarian to that person, that person is a barbarian to you. There are many kinds of voices, but there's always a meaning to the voice. So if you don't understand, you know, the voice, then, you can't communicate, basically. Now, I want to also tell us that there is a signature in the voice. You know, it's kind of like a voice print, you know, that, and every it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a fingerprint, but it's a voice print. And every voice is different, and they can catch that digitally, you know, and they can, you know, they can tell that the voice, you know, the voice is different. You know, everybody's voice is different. And even human beings, you can almost, most of the time, you can recognize somebody's voice. You know, if somebody that you know very well called you on the phone, you know, even if you didn't look at a caller ID or you didn't know who was calling, just from their voice alone, sometimes you can tell. You know, you can hear somebody's voice. You know, some parents have several children, and you know, they can hear one voice in one room, and they know it's which child it is, you know, and so forth. And then you could be here, somebody could speak over there. If you're used to that person, you probably could know who was speaking without seeing who it was. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, we can tell. I can tell. You know, most of the people, actually on my job, you know, I work from home and I'm always on the conference phone call and so forth like that. And when people are speaking, sometimes there's dozens of people speaking and, you know, and so forth. And over time, I began to recognize everybody's voice, even if they don't announce themselves. Or I missed the announcement. And later on, they speak. You know it's that person, because over time, you get to recognize their voice. You know it's that person's voice, and so on. So that's a background. That's something for us to think about for a minute. Think about that. You know, you can even recognize people's voices. So think about that. And while you're thinking of that, then turn to John chapter 10. And I will read a few verses here concerning that. This is John chapter 10. Let's read from verse 1 to give you a good background. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking. He that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth the door, and the sheep hear his voice. Amen. The sheep hear his voice. That's where we're going. And he calleth his own by name, and he leadeth them out. You know, and when he putteth forth his own, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now the sheep, they know the voice of the shepherd. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, because they know not the voice of strangers. Can you say amen? Amen. Now that's the sheep, and that's Jesus talking about his sheep. And he's talking about himself as the good shepherd. And he's saying, my sheep know my voice, and they will follow me. And they will not follow the stranger, because they don't know the voice of strangers. Now, well, the question is, do you really know his voice? Before you answer that, you have to listen to all of this message. You know, so, now, let's drop down here to John chapter 10, in the same chapter, and I'm going to drop down to verse 25. I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness. So, because they asked him a question, look, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Why all this stuff? Just tell us already if you are the Christ. Why don't you just give it to us? And he said, well, I already told you, but you don't believe. I have told you several times you didn't believe. Why? How are you going to believe now? You know, he said, well, even the works that I'm doing, they already testify of me. So he goes on to say in verse 26. Now listen to this. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. Now that's very important. That's what Jesus said. You don't believe because you are not of my sheep. Even as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Hallelujah. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Can you say amen? Amen. Now that is very comforting. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life. You know, so the devil can't tell. Don't let the devil tell you anything different. If you are his sheep, you are hearing his voice, you got eternal life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, but, you know, let's see about this voice of the Lord. You know, if you don't know his voice, you can't hardly understand it at all. If you don't know it, first you have to know it to even understand. Jesus said, look, you cannot hear my speech, you know, because you are not of God. You cannot understand my voice or my word, you know, because you're not of God. You know, so first of all, we got to, you know, hear his voice in order to understand it. You know, you can't understand something that is spoken unless you even heard it. You know, if you heard it first, then, you know, perhaps you may understand it, perhaps you may not. You know, but, you know, there are some people that hear the word of God and they don't understand it, and then the devil come and catch it away from them. Jesus said that in the story of the parable of the sower. How many of you remember that? He said, it's parable of the sower. Some seed fell by the wayside. And these are the ones that who receive the word, you know, but because they have no understanding, the enemy comes after that and catches the word from their heart because they didn't understand the word. So they heard the word, but they didn't understand it. So the devil came and plucked the word out of their heart. Now that is very significant. If you hear the word and you don't understand it, if you're not careful, that devil is going to come behind that and catch that word from your heart. You know, and that's the parable of the sower. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13 on the parable of the sower. And see what Jesus said. When he was explaining, he said, look, when one, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is that which received the seed by the wayside. You know, so there, this thing is in the scripture. People can actually hear the word of God. You know, and I just looked. I tried to do some research on my own the last couple of weeks, just thinking about this. And I have seen that, you know, on this platform, by the grace of God, you know, we have preached faith, we have preached all kinds of things, but yet, you know, when people run into some kind of difficulty, you know, the first thing they do is exactly opposite to all of the messages that have been preached here. Are you still with me, folks? Week after week, we stand here and preach faith and teach faith and how you can use wisdom in your lives and do all of these things and so on, you know. But if you run into a little problem during the week, and then you do exact opposite of all of these teachings that are going here, perhaps the devil cut the word from your heart because you had no understanding. Perhaps you didn't know the voice of the Lord. Perhaps you don't understand his speech. Well, so, you know, let's try to explain it. Let's try to break that down today so you can understand it. First of all, let me tell you this. God's voice is in his word. Amen. That's number one. But I'm going to tell you the second part of that in a little bit. You know, the first thing that you want to know is that God's voice is in his word. And you'll find that in Psalm 103 and verse 20, if you want to turn to that. Psalm 103, verse 20. It talks about the voice of his word. You know, so he said, you know, praise the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength and so forth like that, you know, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So we see that God's voice is in his word. So we see that right away. And if you go right even back to the beginning, you know, the way that God communicated with the human race right from Genesis was through his voice. You know, that's how he did it. You know, when he, you know, and not only even through, not even only to human beings, even to the universe and to the creation, he communicated by his voice. Because you read over and over and over again, I say, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said something. And God said something. And God said something. And that's how he brought all those things to pass. And we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen? Amen. And that's his voice. His voice is in that word that he speaks. So we understand that from the beginning. Now, remember also that there are many kinds of voices. That's why we read that first scripture in 1 Corinthians 14. There are many kinds of voices. You know, so there are voices. So when you want to hear the voice of the Lord, well, the voice of the Lord operates in the spirit realm. You know, God is spirit, you know, but he can speak because he's a creator. You know, and some people, and we talked about this in the Bible study on Wednesday and tried to dismiss this myth that said that, well, since God is a spirit, well, he can't really speak audibly that I can hear because he's a spirit. Well, let me ask you a question. Shall he who created the tongue, I mean, the one that created the tongue, can he not speak? Can he that formed the ear not hear? Are you with me? Can you answer those questions? He that formed the tongue, can he not speak? Yes, he can. That's what I want to hear you say. Can he speak or can he not speak?
Yes, he can.
That's right. And he that formed the ear, can he hear or can he not hear?
Yes, he can.
Well, I got about 1/3 of everybody here responding this morning, you know. I want you to respond to that question. Can the Lord that formed the tongue, can he speak or not?
Yes.
That's right. He can speak. And we're going to find out how he does that this morning. You know, so let's understand that his voice is in his word. And God can speak. And there are various ways that he does that. And we are going to tell you today why it is so important for you as an individual to hear his voice. It's so important. Now, so, having laid that background about the voice of God and so on like that, you know, I'm going to show you a couple of stories in the Bible, you know, that have to deal with hearing God's voice and the process that people might go through sometimes, you know, before they understand God's voice. And then we'll come back and talk about how vital it is going to be for us at the end of the age to hear his voice directly. Now, if God is your father, we sang that song at the beginning. Well, you ought to be able to talk to your father and he ought to be able to talk back to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, and God wants that kind of relationship with us where he talks to us. And we can talk to him, and he talks back to us. And before I tell you these stories, let me tell you this. That sometimes the reason that most people don't hear God's voice is not because God cannot speak, you know, but because our ears are not tuned in. Amen? That's right. If your ears are not tuned into the frequency of God's voice, then you can't catch anything that he's saying. You know, sometimes you have to tune out the noise in order to get the right frequency. It's just like a radio. Sometimes you have to, those analog radios that they had in those days before they came out with the digital ones, you know, you have to kind of fine tune it to the station. And if you don't get it just right, you hear a lot of static. And when you get it right, then all of a sudden, you know, you can hear the broadcast, you know. And the time that you started to hear the broadcast clearly wasn't necessarily the time that the broadcast started. Amen?
Amen.
Broadcast was there the whole time. You just didn't tune in. You know, so, but when you tuned in, then you heard it. You know, so, but it was there the whole time. Same thing with the voice of God. You know, and God's voice operates in different, in different frequencies, you know, so, you know, than what most people are used to. And I gave this example on Wednesday. And the Bible study, you know, even, you know, there are voices even in the, you know, the spectrum of frequencies. There are voices that cut across many frequencies. There are some, there's a range of frequencies in which the human voice and the human ear operates. And beyond that, there are some frequencies that we can't even hear, but some animals can hear them. You know, dogs and some other things, they can hear certain high-pitched sounds that human beings cannot hear. In fact, they've, you know, people have come out with these whistles that you can blow that have these very high frequency sounds that will hurt the ears of the dogs. The human being won't hear it at all, and the dog will run away. You know, so then dogs can hear some things that you can't hear, and so other animals and so forth. There are various differences. So there's various kinds of voices, and there are various frequencies in which to tune in. And but you know, there are also many kinds of negative voices as well. Amen. There is the voice of unbelief. There is the voice of doubt. There is the voice of reason that tries to reason God's word out and so forth instead of just believing God. There are many voices of discouragement and so forth. The voice of, you know, fear. And all of these voices will try to choke out the real voice of God from your ears and from your spirit. So you have to be able to discern the voice of the Lord. But how do you understand his voice? Now, the message this morning is God's voice in his word, understanding God's voice. So how are you going to discern his voice? I understand his word. Remember, Jesus said, you cannot, you know, understand my speech. You cannot tell my word, you know, because you are not of God. But if you are of God, my sheep, he said, hear my voice. Amen.
Amen.
So we must hear his voice. Now, let me tell you these stories in the Bible. You know, there was a young man in the Bible. His name was Samuel. You find this story in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, Hannah, his mother, didn't have a child for a long time, so she prayed. And finally, when God heard her voice, she said, I will, if the Lord, she promised the Lord, if you give me this man-child, I will loan him to the Lord all the days of his life. Well, the Lord did, and she did exactly that. So she prepared the son when he was weaned, you know, from the breast and so forth, and took him to the house of God. And gave him to the priest at the time. His name was Eli. And said, well, this was a young man that I was here in the temple praying about that you thought I was drunk and so on, you know, and the Lord has done it and I brought him back according as I promised. So he will serve the Lord all the days of his life and so on. So the young man, he was there serving the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Now, so he was like an altar boy or somebody that did something. I don't know what he did in the church, you know, whatever he did. Eli was a priest, so he was doing something. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision in those days. Well, you know, people didn't have open vision. The word of the Lord was scarce. That's what he means. They didn't have it. And it came to pass at that time that Eli, you know, was laid down in his place and his eyes began to grow dim and so forth. And he could not see. You know, and in those days, you know, Samuel himself also, you know, where the ark of God was, Samuel lay down to sleep. Now, this man, this young man Samuel was laying close to the ark of God. He was doing all these things in the church. He was all of the altar boy, whatever, you know. I mean, people are doing things in the church that may not even know the Lord. I'm not talking of this church necessarily, but maybe even this church. You know, this church is not immune to that, you know, but, you know, I certainly hope not. But, you know, in the church, people could be doing things. Now, listen to this. This man was doing all these things, laid down before the ark. He was in the temple night and day and so forth, you know. But, you know, we'll have to read this story in verse 7 and to see what the Lord said. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Even though he was in the temple ministering unto the Lord, he was in the temple, he was, you know, very close to the priest, he even slept by the ark of God. Amen? Amen, folks?
Amen.
Listen to it, verse 3. And, you know, the lamp of God was there in the ark, you know, where the ark of God was, and Samuel lay down to sleep next to the ark. He was there by the ark, he was doing all these things in the temple, but yet he did not know the Lord. Now, there may be people coming to church, even doing things in the ministry and so forth. But perhaps you don't even really know the Lord, or maybe the voice of the Lord has not yet been revealed to you. Now, so let's go further in this message. So, listen to this. In verse 4, and the Lord called to Samuel. The Lord says, Samuel! And he said, here am I. And he ran to Eli, because he thought it was Eli that called him. And then he said, here am I, you called me, sir. And he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And then the Lord called him again, Samuel. And he woke up and said, here am I. And he heard the voice. So he knew somebody was calling him, but he didn't know who it was. But he assumed it was Eli because it was only him and Eli that were in the temple. Are you following the story?
Amen.
So he ran to Eli again. And then the third time again, the same thing happened. And he ran, you know. So finally, Eli figured it out. He said, oh, okay. Now, I know the Lord must be calling this young man. So Eli would say to him. So the Lord called him, verse 8, the third time and so forth. And he came, and Eli said, ah. So Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, excuse me, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call you again, here's what you are going to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel, he went and lay down in his place. Now, sometimes, you know, like this message today, sometimes somebody will have to teach you of how to hear and understand the voice of God. Just like we're going to do right here today. You know, because this young man who became one of the greatest notable prophets in the land at the time, at first did not even know the Lord. Neither was the voice of God revealed to him. And he didn't even know the word of the Lord. And he took Eli, the priest, to teach him what to do. Hallelujah. So finally one day, finally later on the same night, the Lord called Samuel again. And I want you to notice the Lord's patience the whole time. You know, called him, he ran off. God was patient. Called him again, he ran off. God was still there. Called him again, he ran off. God was still there. You know, and God was patient, you know. Now there may be many of you that the Lord is calling. You know, you may be hearing his voice, but you're running off and do something else. You know, but you must recognize the voice of God and come back to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you don't recognize the voice of God, you run off and do something else, just like this young man did. So finally, next time he said, here am I, Lord, speak, for thy servant is listening. Now, you know, sometimes God will interject himself into people's lives. When it has to do with his eternal purpose, he will interject, he will take the bull by the horns, he will do whatever he wants to do. But most of the time, you know, in your daily lives, God will just speak and leave it up to you to respond. And if you don't respond, well, you know, enough time he may speak, you don't respond, pretty soon the Holy Spirit may be grieved. You know, and he may not even speak anymore, you know, because he spoke a few times, you don't respond. See, God is not always going to force himself on you. And all that, you know. So, finally, this young man, he heard the word of the Lord, and the Lord revealed to him what he was going to do concerning that place and Eli and so on, and all the sin going on there, and the change that God was going to bring. You know, but after that, After that, throughout the rest of the books of Samuel and the kings and so forth, and we would hear that the Bible would say, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, and the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and the Lord said to Samuel. So, you know, the first time he didn't know the voice of God, but once he understood that voice, he was connected to the voice of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, it is our hope, it's my hope this morning that many will come to understand the voice of the Lord and stay connected. Amen?
Amen.
Stay connected with the voice of the Lord. There's a lot of things that tell you today on social media how to stay connected. Many of you stay connected on Facebook and so forth with your friends and all this. You need to stay connected with the voice of the Lord, because it's going to be so crucial in these last days. Amen? So that's one story of a young man that didn't know the Lord very much, and finally he figured it out, and God began to use him mightily. And you can read all throughout the rest of the place, and the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and so on, once he figured it out. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There's also a story here, but I'm not going to go too deep into it, because I want to move on to another one story. There's the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6. You can read verses 36 to 40. Judges chapter 6, verses 36 to 40, the story of Gideon. When the Lord was initially calling Gideon, he himself wasn't sure that it was the word of the Lord. So he put the word to the test. He said, well, you know, if the Lord's going to do this thing, if it's truly the Lord speaking to me that he's going to do this thing and deliver these people into my hands, well, I pray, you know, let this thing be like this. I'm going to put a piece of fleece, they call it, cutting wool, on the ground here, and let that cutting wool only be wet, and let the whole ground be dry. And it was so. So he kind of like, so he thought in his heart, maybe the thing soaked up all the water around. He said, let's do one more thing. Let's see if the whole, land around the thing will be wet and the thing will be dry. Now, that would be a strange one if it rained. Water is pouring, and everywhere around it, and then this little piece of cutting wool in the middle is dry. So he put that to the test, because he didn't understand the word of the Lord very much that time. So anyway, when the Lord did it, the Lord was patient with him too. And I see in all the stories, God is patient with them. So finally, when he figured it out, and he said, wow, then he knew it was the Lord. And then from that point on, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon. And he didn't doubt the word of the Lord anymore, because now he understood the word of the Lord. Now, if I don't know the voice of him that speaks, if I don't understand it, I will be a barbarian. Keep that in mind. And the other person will be a barbarian to me. If you don't understand the word of the Lord, you don't understand his voice, that's the best that the Bible describes. It's just barbarian communication. There's no communication between you and the Lord. Now, sometimes, most people that are in here, just about everybody that is in here today, is at least, the people, not the little kids, but everybody that knows anything about prayer, they know that prayer is talking with God. Talking to God is what the people think, most of the time. But most people will pray at some point in time. In the morning, the evening, whatever, if they run into trouble, whatever, they'll pray, But the thing is that when you pray, when you talk to God, do you really hold on and see what the Lord is going to say to you back? Or you just speak and run off? Most of the time, we just speak and run off. Because usually, I got to leave the house by 6:15, and it's now 6:13. So I got 2 minutes of prayer. Lord Jesus, bless me as I go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get in my car and go. So you'll never hear the voice of the Lord that way. Are you still with me, folks? You're not going to squeeze the Lord into your program in order to hear the voice of the Lord. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to stay in the presence of the Lord. And when you speak, and I challenge people, the folks that were in the Bible study on Wednesday, I challenged them with this. And I said, why don't you go back home and change your prayer style a little bit? I want to challenge everybody here to do the same. Change your prayer style. Next time you pray, if you spend 5 minutes in prayer, then hold on for 5 minutes and see what the Lord will speak back to you. But the point is that some of us pray long prayers. We can pray for 2 hours. We can't even let God speak anything. And then God doesn't get a chance to put a word in there. And you say all those things, and then when you finish, you rise up and go. Well, God never got a chance to get a word in. I mean, can you imagine? You're trying to speak to a friend of yours, or your parent, or your child, or your spouse, and so forth. And they speak, go on for 2 hours, and you never get a chance to say anything. And once they are done, they get up and go. How many of you would like that? But that's exactly the kind of communication relationship that most of us have with God. We load it on the Lord. We lay everything on Him. And then once we are done, we get up and go. And we don't even wait and give the Lord a chance to say what He wants to say. Well, I want to say something, folks, that look, before you even start praying, you should listen to the Lord first. Amen. And when you pray, listen to Him too and see what He's going to say. You'll find out a little more about this, you know, but, you know, especially when you begin to worship and you're going to praise the Lord. The Spirit of God moves more in that, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. When you begin to praise and when you begin to worship the Lord, then God's going to move and He might speak. But if you don't tune in, it'll go right, you know, over your head, you know, whatever. You won't even hear what He's saying because you are not tuning in, because you are not trained. You know, the Bible says there are some people that are trained, having their senses exercised. You know, you are not trained to hear God's voice. So you just don't hear it. Now, you got to train your ear to hear God's voice, because it's not like, you know, the other voices that you hear. So let's see how God's voice may come. Turn with me to this story in 1 Kings chapter 19. And there's an element, a good, interesting story here in the story of Elijah, a rugged man of faith that had done tremendous exploits, killed all the prophets of Baal, you know, called the fire down on the showdown on Mount Carmel in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. And then the wife of Ahab, you know, Jezebel told him that, look, you know, as sure as anything, you know, before the sundown or whatever, I will make your life as one of those prophets. You know, so he ran for his life. So anyway, when he ran for his life, you know, he went and hid by a cave. So that's where we pick up the story. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And the Lord said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, you know, the Lord passed by. Now, let's notice this experience. First, the word of the Lord came to him, and then the Lord told him something. And the Lord said, well, go stand over there, and I'm going to come to you in a little bit. You know, so he went and stood over there. And when the Lord passed by, now I want you to notice this. The Lord passed by, and there was a great and strong wind that tore the mountains, wrecked the mountains. A great and powerful wind, you know, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was a tremendous earthquake that shook everything and broke everything in pieces. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Amen, folks? You know, well. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. Wow. Now, all of that ruckus and all of that, you know, commotion that was going on, well, you might look at it this way. You know, those were just the Lord's dispatch riders, if you want to call it that way. You know, if the President of the United States is coming to Phoenix today, they'll send the Secret Service a couple of weeks before. They clean out everything, check out everything and so forth. And the day he comes and so forth, they'll go before and make sure everything is in order. There's no hidden thing that could be of any danger to the president and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, they clear the way, you know. And so this wind, went before the Lord and cleared the way, breaking pieces of the rocks and everything. Amen. But that was not the law. He wasn't in it. Then after the earthquake and after the wind, even an earthquake said, well, the wind did so much, but there's still some other things, So the earthquake came and cleared some other things again. Still, the Lord was not in it. Amen. And finally, even the fire. And yet the Lord was not in it. My goodness. Well, I want to say, and I want to challenge everybody that's sitting in here today, with this. Most people that are sitting here today will be satisfied with the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. Are you still with me, folks?
Amen.
I mean, if the wind started blowing here right now, like on the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing mighty wind. Everybody would say, my lands, we had a tremendous service today. The wind blew. And maybe the cloven tongues of fire, Maybe some other thing, some other phenomena, some other experience, maybe whatever it is. And everybody will be so excited. And we might not wait for that still small voice. Maybe run off after you see the wind. Run off after you see the earthquake or the fire or whatever it is. But not wait for that small voice. But the Lord was not in all those things. Now, of course, the Lord can use those things. But God was teaching us a lesson here that, not necessarily all those things is what we're looking for. We are looking for the voice of the Lord. Amen. So the still small voice finally came. And he said, what do I have here, Elijah? Just like the last time. And he went through all of that. And then he gave him specific directions. And he also gave him understanding concerning the elect of God. And he said, look, I have got me 7,000 souls that have not bowed the knees to bow. Even though you think you are the only one left. So the voice came and he pinpointed and brought, revelation and understanding, to Elijah. So all of that, those signs and wonders and so forth that he saw didn't bring the revelation, but the voice of the Lord brought the revelation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. So when we see the wind, the earthquake and the fire, will you wait for the still small voice? There's another story here in the book of Exodus chapter 3. There was another mighty man. His name was Moses. Well, at this time, yet to be really mighty, but, he's coming into it. The Lord already had his hand upon him and so forth, because he didn't know it. But, so he's going to have this encounter with the Lord in Exodus chapter 3. He ran from Egypt already because he tried to take the law into his hands. And then he had to run and many years in the wilderness, and so forth like that. So, finally, he came to this experience in Exodus chapter 3. Listen to this. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Verse 1, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock by the backside of the desert and so forth. And the angel of the Lord, he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, Moses did. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now, at this point in time, Moses didn't know it was the angel of the Lord. He didn't know anything about it. All he knew was that, he saw, there was something happening, there's some kind of fire going on. So, he didn't know it was the angel of the Lord. So, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Usually when bush is burning, you can see all the, all the dead trees and leaves and so forth, withering away and turning into ashes and then just consuming everything. But this fire was just burning and it didn't consume anything. And Moses said, wow. Verse 3. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, then God called to him out of the midst of the bush. And the voice of the Lord spoke to him when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. So the fire and all of that was to get his attention. And if Moses had not turned his attention towards that, if Moses had said, wow, ran off down from the mountain and ran to his folks and said, my goodness, I saw an experience today. There was a burning bush and there was something not burning. My, that was wonderful. He would not have heard the voice of the Lord. Because the voice was not the fire. The fire was to get his attention. And then when God got his attention, when God saw that he turned aside and said, I'm going to check this out. God perked his interest by the phenomena of the fire and the burning bush. How many of you can say amen? But he had to turn aside and say, wow, let me check this out. And then God said, when God now saw that he checked it out, then the voice of the Lord came unto him. Of course, Moses himself initially didn't know the Lord. In fact, he questioned the Lord, who are you, Lord? Who am I going to say sent me? And all these kind of things and so forth. You know, he didn't understand, you know, what it was. And the Lord told him so many things. And even when you get down to Exodus chapter 4, you will see here where the Lord spoke to him in verse 8. Turn to Exodus chapter 4. After the Lord said, I'm going to send you back to bring out the children of Israel. You know, and the Lord told him, gave him some signs. And in Exodus chapter 4, he says in verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. You say a sign has a voice? Well, absolutely. So there was the voice of the sign. God gave him a sign, you know, put his hand inside, you know, turned into leprosy and so forth, brought it out again, and he was healed. Threw out the rod, turned into a snake, catch it by the tail and turned back into a rod, you know, and so forth like that, you know. So the voice of the sign. So there was a voice in the sign. God was speaking through that sign. Now, God's voice, just like the voice of these signs, God's voice to the elect is in his word. Amen. And God is speaking through his word to us. But God's word can be written or spoken. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible has to say about that. And you pay attention to this now, because God is going to show you something. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Now God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, you know, by the prophets. So that's how God spoke in time past. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So it goes on and on and on. And if I may add, that God, that was in the last days, but in his latter times, because we are even closer to the end than those last days that this writer of Hebrews was talking about. In these latter times, God's voice will speak directly to the elect and the sons of God. Amen?
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
But because his voice is in his word, the word of God that is written and the voice of God that is spoken cannot contradict each other. Now, if God's voice speaks to you, you know, or speaks to the church, let me put it that way. God's voice to the church will not contradict the word of God. Now, God may tell you as an individual to do some crazy thing. That's between you and him. I couldn't worry about that at all. You know, we've seen examples in the Bible where God told some people to go do some crazy things. That's their business. That's not for the church. Now, when there's a word for the church, it must line up with this word. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks. Because God is not the author of confusion. And when God speaks to you as a person too, the best way for you is check it with the word of God. Because there are many things in the spiritual realms. When you start wanting to hear the voice of God, you may hear other voices as well. In fact, Jesus one time, he heard the voice of the devil. You don't think? The devil came to him and said, so, wow, you are the son of God, aren't you? Well, if you are really the son of God, why don't you turn these stones to bread? So you don't think this devil spoke to Jesus? It's right there in the Bible, Matthew chapter 4, you know, Luke chapter 4 also. You know, the devil spoke to him several times, you know, but the Lord Jesus, he knew the voice of God and he knew the voice of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
And one time also in Mark, you know, Matthew 16, Jesus said, well, you know, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He took an opinion poll of his disciples. He said, well, one said this and one said that. And so finally, Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, you know, blessed art thou, Sona, you know, Simon, John of Barsona, I mean, whatever, you know. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father is in heaven. And right after that, this great Peter that just had this revelation, you know, one time the voice of the Lord, he gave Peter a direct revelation of who Christ was, you know. Then the next time, the voice of the devil come into Peter, just right after that, and he said, well, you know, when Jesus began to tell them now, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be crucified and be done all these things, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him and say, you will never do that. And the Lord recognized the voice of the devil. Amen. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan. He told Peter. You know, and so one time, the voice of the Lord. The next time, the voice of the devil. Right there in Peter. You know, so you got to recognize the voice of the Lord and the voice of strangers. Amen.
Amen.
But the Bible has given us a promise that my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And they will not hear the voice of strangers. Hallelujah. This is the promise that we have. So if you are here and you are not hearing the voice of God, you know, I'm going to give you a short testimony of myself. When I was a kid, or a young man, or much younger, when I first came to know the Lord many years ago, you know, I learned about this voice of God. And I said, well, you know, I want the Lord to speak to me. I said, well, Lord, you know, you got to speak to me. So, you know, and, I don't know. I think God has, you know, compassion and a sense of humor and so forth. So God will speak to me too, just like I said. I would hear his voice just like I'm hearing, you're talking to you now. And, you know, I didn't know very much about the Bible. And I said to the Lord, well, you know, all right. So I want to read about the new man. Where is that in the Bible? And the Lord would say, well, why don't you turn to Colossians chapter 3 and go read it. You know, or this and that. My goodness. And I would turn and I'll read it and I say, wow. And then I'll try again, you know, I ask another question. And I remember this so many times. And this is the truth, you know. And the Bible says you will give account for every idle word. So I kept doing that. And then all of a sudden, the devil will sneak up there and say, well, now, how do you know that was the voice of the Lord? You know. Maybe next time it will fail. Maybe it will miss. You know. See. So you see, the devil, he cannot, you know, change the word of God, or, you know, but he likes to, you know, twist it a little bit. When God speaks, just like God spoke in the beginning and gave them commandment, you know, then he comes in there and so forth. He knows, well, you know, he really can't get rid of the word of God. So he'll twist it, you know, make people confused and so forth like that. And that's what he does. He's trying to make you be confused concerning the voice of the Lord. Sometimes you have to make a decision, you know, and the Lord's telling you one thing, then the enemy and all kinds of other voices will come to you and tell you all kinds of other things. Now, how do you decipher the voice of the Lord? Now, many of you, just about everybody that's sitting in this place, at one point in time, you know, you say, well, you know, I was about to do this or I was about to do that, and something said to me, do this and do that and so forth. And it turned out that it was something that kept you out of trouble. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But it wasn't something that said to you. It was the voice of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get off of that something that said to you. Let's recognize the voice of the Lord. God is not something. God is God. And he can speak to you. And you need to know his voice. And if you don't understand his voice, look, if you don't know the voice of the Lord, you know, take time and pray. God will show you his voice. And he will make it known unto you. Amen. And there are many ways that God can speak to us in our lives. He can speak in so many different, of course, by the written word of God. But if you don't believe the written word of God, there's no need for God to speak to you audibly if you can't even believe what he already spoke in the word. You know, so, but at the end of the age, this is where it is coming to. God said concerning Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. I don't have time to read it. You can check it yourself. Numbers 12, 8 and Exodus 33, verses 10 and 11. And God said, I will speak with Moses face to face. Hallelujah. Well, folks, you know, we need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. And here's a direct promise to you today. In the book of Psalms 32 and verse 8, the Lord said, I will guide you.
Amen.
Amen. In the way that you should go. Hallelujah. I will lead you. I will direct you, guide you with my eye and so forth. How is he going to direct you? By his voice. That's how he directs. You know, one time he said to Joseph, the Lord even, you know, he said to Joseph in a dream, by the voice of the Lord, you know, save the life of Jesus. He said, well, you get up and take the mother of this child and the child himself to Egypt and flee there and stay there until I bring you word again. Because they want to seek the child of the life of the child to kill it. So the Lord, he spoke directly to Joseph in a dream to save the life of Jesus. You know, and God will speak to you. Amen. Praise God. God, there are so many scriptures that bear this out, that God will speak directly to us to show us the way that we should go. But you must be listening and you must try to recognize the voice of God. And sometimes you have to sift out all the noise in order to tune in to the voice of God. Now, in these last days that God has spoken through his son, God will now speak directly to his sons. Hallelujah. And the voice of God must be plain. Now, you know, but here is the challenge. You know, as the scripture has said, this is the challenge. In Hebrews, we are told this, which is the challenge, that look, if you hear his voice, then harden not your hearts. Amen. This is in Hebrews chapter 3 and also in Hebrews chapter 4. And let me read it to you here. Turn with me to Hebrews and let's read this. He says in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, if you say, well, I want to hear the voice of God. Well, if you will hear his voice, he's warning you. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because when God speaks and you harden your heart and you run off and do exact opposite, then you are setting up yourself for destruction. You know. Then he says also in Hebrews chapter 4, he says the same thing in verse 7. You know, he said, today, the last sentence there, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So, the voice of God will come to you in his word. The voice of God can come, the word of the Lord can be revealed to you in a dream. And he can speak in that dream to you by voice. It can be revealed to you in a vision. It can be come, it can come into your ear audibly. You know, and sometimes I guarantee you there are some folks here in this room today who one day, you know, you heard your voice. And you thought somebody was calling you and looked around and maybe you asked somebody who was near you and said, well, I didn't call you. How many of you ever felt that? Yeah, of course. That's happened to some people. You know, you say, well, you know, and the Lord will just call you like he called Samuel. May call you. Maybe you're not paying attention. He will just be there. He's not going to do anything. You've got to pay attention to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And when you finally pay attention, then the word of the Lord will be revealed to you. You know, and so, you know, God will try to get your attention. He gives you a little teaser. That's called teasers. You know, he may give you a little thing here and a little thing there, you know, but the ultimate that God wants is one-on-one communication, his voice directly to you in your life. Amen. Amen. And he will guide you step by step. He will lead you in the way that you should go. Amen. Amen. And then you'll be able to say, the angel that led me by the way. Hallelujah. He will be able to lead you. Moses one time said, look, Lord, if your presence go not at all with us, then I don't even want to go nowhere. If you are not going to guide me, then I'm not going anywhere. Hallelujah. You know, when you are ready to say that kind of prayer, God is going to guide you. You know, the voice of God is in his word. The word of God that is written, the word of God that is spoken. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And every week, week after week, we stay here and we preach this word. But do you understand the word? Or will the devil come in and catch it from your heart because you didn't have any understanding? Which one is it going to be? Well, you say, well, you are, maybe I don't understand, but I want to understand. Well, gee, then you are, you know, you've got the right attitude. Amen? Amen. You have the right attitude if you don't know something and you want to know from the Lord. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You don't know the voice of God, ask of God and he will show you. God wants to speak to you, you know, not just to the pastor or to some minister or to some this or to that. God wants to speak to all his children. Amen? Amen. One by one, if you are a child of God, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And if you are one of those sheep, you must hear his voice. If you are not hearing his voice, It's one of two things. Either you are not the sheep, or you know, too many things are there, even though you are the sheep, but too many things are there and your ear is dull of hearing. Bible says some people's ears are dull of hearing and so forth. You know, they're just dull of hearing. And instead of hearing the word of God, they heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. Their eyes are dull and itching them. They just want to hear fables. They don't want to hear the word of God. You know, fables will not get you anywhere, but get you twisted up and confused. But the word of God is pure. The Bible says every word of God is pure. Amen. So the word of God is alive and it is pure and it is quick and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's in Hebrews 4 and 12. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. That's how powerful the word of God is. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any sword. It can pierce into the bone and marrow. It can divide between spirit and soul, and it will discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you must practice the word of God. You must practice hearing the voice of God. Practice, practice, practice. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is practice, even in human life. You know, if you are a student and you're doing exams and you're preparing for your exams or you're taking mathematics or whatever, you got to practice those questions. Practice, practice, practice. You know, if you don't practice, you probably won't know it because you may not have time to think through. But if you already practice, when you see the question, you recognize it already because you're practiced. You know, you're doing some of these complicated things that they do in colleges and so forth, formulas and so forth like that. You're not going to have time to remember the formula. Practice, practice, practice. You recognize it when you see it, you apply it. Amen? Because you're not going to have time to think. The same thing in sports. You must practice, practice, practice. If you are in track and field, I know when I used to be in track and field, practice, practice, practice. I used to wake up early in the night. Early in the morning, or stay up late at night. Practice, practice, practice to be the best. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. So in the same thing, we got to practice. That's why the Bible says those who have their senses exercised, they are practicing. You know, how do I practice the presence of the Lord? How do I practice understanding the voice, God's voice? Well, you know, calm down when you are in prayer. Amen. That's right. When you are in worship, calm down. You know, tune everything else out and hear the voice of God. And try to hear the voice of God. And if you don't hear the first time, don't worry about it. You know, you keep asking. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, because God may be testing you, you know, because you've not been listening to the Lord all these years. So finally, one day you decide to come and listen, and then you say, Lord, speak to me. And then you think in 1 minute he will just speak. He may be testing you to see what if you have any patience and just stay in his presence. You know, so if he doesn't speak immediately right away, or you can't tune in right away, you know, he may be speaking and you may not hear because you are not, your voices, your ears are not tuned. You know, but you practice and you practice. Praise the Lord. And finally, you're going to connect. And when you connect with the word, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And if he tells you anything, you're not sure, check it with the word of God. It's got to match the word of God. Amen. Because his voice will not lead you astray. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. The voice of God is in his word. Hallelujah. Why is a message like this going to be so important? Understanding God's voice. Because at the end of the age, God, as we are at right now, God will give individual instructions. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
That's right. Well, there is corporate instruction. I mean, we might come here and so forth. And I believe God will give us some instruction by the grace of God when we come to this Shadow of the End series. But then there is individual instructions. Hallelujah. You must hear the voice of God even if nobody else is hearing his voice. That was the case with Noah. Noah heard the voice of the Lord. The rest of the people didn't hear. And even if they heard, they wouldn't have understood anything because their hearts were not right with God. So if your heart is not right with God, you know, the voice of God won't mean anything to you. You know, it will still be like Greek or something else that you don't understand, you know. But when your heart is right with God, then his word will be revealed to you. And it will come not only through the written word, but also by voice. Hallelujah. Whose voice then shook, you know, the heavens. Whose voice shook, the Bible says, Psalm 29, all the great things that the voice of the Lord can do. I can rent the rocks and do all of these things and so forth like that. But we're talking about that still small voice that can also come to you. You know, even in that Psalm 29, it says, look, the hinds will calve even when they hear the voice of God. That means, you know, a pregnant cattle or whatever will give birth as soon as he hears the voice of God. That's how powerful his voice can be. But he can break the cedars, he can break the mountains, he can do all of these things, but still he can drop down in a still small voice into your ears. Amen? And he can drop down in a still small voice into your heart. And that is the most precious thing that as a believer you can have. As far as I know, you know, because you can't hear that voice unless you have a Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit, you know, some people say, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, it goes together. The Spirit of God is the one, you know, the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God has to move first before the voice of God goes. When the Spirit of God moved, then the voice said, and God said, and God said, let there be light and so on. So when the Spirit of God is in your life, the voice of God will come and he'll begin to guide you. He'll begin to lead you step by step and he will begin to take away the confusion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. If you have not yet experienced the voice of God, or you are not experiencing hearing the voice of God on a daily basis, you know, I'm not talking of, you know, earth-shaking revelation, you know, that will change the world. That's not what I'm talking about. Those ones may come far and far between, you know. God may appoint one person that he will give such a revelation to, you know, that, you know, will impact the whole world, and he may not speak that kind of thing for months and months or years. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking of individual guidance from the Lord must be a daily thing in your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It must be a daily. The Lord must guide you. The Lord must speak to you. You are about to take a wrong turn on the road. The Lord will say, don't go there. Go this way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he'll save you from an accident. Praise the Lord. It happens all the time. You got to believe the Lord. You start practicing the presence of the Lord, folks. You know, and you'll see how wonderful it is. Even in little things that are insignificant, you know, you trust the Lord. You say, well, Lord, you know, you just talk to God. All right. So, you know, today, you know, I've got a choice of wearing this blue tie or this red tie. Which one should I wear, Lord? The Lord may say, well, wear the blue. It may seem to you insignificant at all, but if you listen to the voice of the Lord and you wear that blue, you go to some place and the Lord may say, the Lord already showed somebody that you are coming in a blue tie. Amen. That's how the Spirit of God works. You say, well, what tie doesn't mean anything. I can do anything I want. Well, sure you can. But if you listen to the Lord, you will end up on a better side. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord will have a reason for everything that he does. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, in order for you to receive this voice of the Lord and be hearing and walking with God. You see, you know, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. These people found favor with God. You know, but they heard the voice of God. You know, the Bible says the days are coming and now is that those that are dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Amen. Those who are spiritually dead, this is the hour that you will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And his voice is speaking. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That voice will guide you and lead you away from temptation even. The Lord will say, don't go over there. There is evil in that place. Amen. Praise God. He did it in the Bible. He used the voice to save so many people's lives in the Bible. Even Jesus. So he must do it for us too. Amen. Because we are joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. So you must trust the Lord. I know there are so many evil things coming upon the land, but the voice will guide the elect of God. Amen. God will guide you. Even God may have predicted there will be earthquake and landslide and some places will slip into the sea. God will guide you. And at the right minute, he'll take you away from there. Amen. I believe it absolutely with my heart. If you don't believe it, well, that's your business. But I believe these things. And I know that the Lord will guide me by his voice because I'm seeking the same. Amen. And Bible says, he that asketh, receiveth. Throw up your hands here this morning and we're going to pray. I want you to ask. I want you to pray. And I want you to say, I want to be hearing the voice of God. Now, some of you, and I just picked this up by the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be saying, you know, we're not talking about God telling you this and that in order for you to, you know, prosper in your lives. He can do that too, and he will do that, you know. But you know, everything about seeking God is not just about physical prosperity. Because most of the time, you know, that's all people pray about. You know, but it's not just about that. You know, it is about you knowing the voice and the will of God in everything that you do. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I am going to pray for you this morning. Now, you say, well, I don't even know if I can hear the voice of God. Well, you can. If you are a child of God, you will hear his voice. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So, as we pray this morning, you say, I want the Lord to anoint my ears with ears off so that I can hear, and anoint my eyes with eyes off so that I can see. I want the Lord's voice to be made known unto me. I want to understand his voice so that I will not be a barbarian unto him. If that's you here this morning, I will pray with you. I want to see your hand up when you say, I want God's word and his voice to be revealed unto me in my life. Remember, Samuel, he ministered in the church, but the word of the Lord was not revealed unto him. He did all these things, but he did not know the voice of the Lord. If that's you here this morning, you say, I want the voice of the Lord. Those of you that have your hands up, come on up here, and let's believe the Lord together. There's a reason for these things. Praise the Lord. It is the anointing, you know, that you respect and you honor that can bless your life. That's the way it works. Now, Lord Jesus, see the folks that come in here this morning for prayer. Those of you who are here, I want you to raise your hands and lift up your heads and look up unto the Lord. Because God is your Father, and he will speak with you. In fact, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. So if you have not been hearing, and you've been doing too many things that end up in regret in your life. You've been taking decisions that end up wrong and it's regretful and you end up in a bad shape. That means you're not hearing the voice of God. Because God will not lead you down those paths that will lead you into trouble. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. How? Because the voice of the Lord is going to guide him. You know, so you need that voice of the Lord. Now lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, all your people that are standing in front of you here this morning, including myself, we want to hear the voice of God. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need a word from you. Because if we don't hear from you, Lord, then what shall we do? Speak, O Lord, to us, for we are listening. Teach us, O Lord, and give us the grace to wait patiently for the word of the Lord. Even as the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the word of the Lord. Even as Joseph waited patiently, and when the word of the Lord came and tried him, and he took him out of prison and raised him up. Father, Lord Jesus, help us to wait and hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us how to walk with God, even in our days, even in the midst of going to school and going to work and doing all these other things and raising family and so on. Teach us how we can still hear the voice of the Lord, even in the midst of all those things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God will speak to you, not only when you are in your closet praying, not only when you are in praise and worship in the church, but if you learn how to practice his voice, hearing his voice and understanding his speech, he will speak and commune with you every moment of your life if you let him. He will guide you, especially when you have to make important decisions in your life. And you will not take the wrong step. I will instruct you in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with my voice and with my eyes, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, guide your people. Teach us the way that we should go. Instruct us and guide us with your voice. And help us in recognizing the voice of the Lord day by day, that we may walk with you and that we may do your will. To understand the will of the Lord, and to understand the voice of the Lord, that is priceless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. Bless all the people that came this morning and answer their prayer, Lord, and give unto them an understanding ear. Anoint their ears with ears of, and their eyes with eyes of, that they may hear and see wondrous things out of thy word, and thy voice may speak directly to each of us. We give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. You may be seated.